3, the 90-day license revocation on a first offense, simply because that would qualify us for federal assistance in the prevention program. And number 4, the discretionary forfeiture of motor vehicles. I think that's about the totality of my comments on this particular bill, Mr. Chairman. If you have any questions in general, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yes, she, my question for Ashley, if you talked to her, they did, both she and the sponsor indicated that they are going to remove, under Section 15, beginning at line 18, remove the entire section covering motor vehicle impoundment, just remove it, strike it from the bill.
That would seem to leave with the judge the very meaningful power to take the car and yet remove from the public the very burdensome requirement of storing these doggone things.
Yes, and the other sort of significant, well, maybe somewhat significant change was on line 21 on page 15, changed the word court to DA.
Now, that would seem to eliminate an objection voiced before the Senate State Affairs Committee last Saturday by either Judge Elaine Andrews or Court System Counsel Carla Forsyth.
Yes, she too is here today to testify with us before us. Are there questions of committee members of Alan Bailey? There don't seem to be any at this moment. Alan, are you going to be there a while, or are you planning to leave?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be here probably till about a quarter to 7, if it runs that long.
Okay, Representative Liska.
Mr. Bailey, have you any idea what the fiscal note on this particular bill is?
I do not, Representative Liska. I have seen one from the Department of Public Safety, but it was the corrections fiscal note and would be the major impact from the bill.
Well, the reason why I'm asking you, because I would like to have your opinion as to what the impact would be on the court system and what additional people we would need, what additional judges or help or other secretaries or so forth. Could you give us a little of your point of view on that? What it would take additional help to administer this program if this bill goes into effect?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Liska, obviously we're in dealing with higher jail requirements on at least a second offense, we're talking about some additional trials. Right now we have a very highly elevated trial calendar because we had 300 cases that were stayed on an appeal that finally came down. The district court is very busy, at least in Anchorage, and I expect this bill would cause a certain increase in trials. So it's difficult for me to quantify it. I know the district court in Anchorage is shorthanded. The support staff in the court system here in Anchorage is shorthanded. My office is shorthanded. Right now, about the only people who aren't are the Anchorage Police Department. I think there would be some fiscal impact on the Department of Public Safety in administering parts of the administrative revocation. And if the legislature decided to do as the state of Minnesota has done, they have a dual appeal system on the license revocation. A driver can ask first for an administrative hearing before an administrative officer, and these are usually done by mail. But since the issues of under which a revocation can be contested are fairly narrow, the administrative officer can read the police reports and hear what the defendant has to say and make a determination fairly rapidly. So they have, I do have a fiscal analysis, and I sent it, I believe, to Carol Horos, representative of Booth's office. By the state of Minnesota, in fact, I think it was by the U.S. Department of Transportation, of the Minnesota program, before the statutory changes that went in last year, that was to reduce the 30-day temporary license to 7 days, and that took care of a lot of frivolous court filings. other than that, I don't know, I don't have any estimates of what the fiscal impact would be.
Well, Mr. Bailey, for your own information, the fiscal note that I'm looking at right here is $539,000 for fiscal year 1984. If we, if it meant taking on two additional judges and a secretary of work to handle that, possibly about $250,000 would possibly be a more realistic figure, the way I look at it. You concur with that?
Well, it's difficult for me to get into fiscal matters. I try to avoid them as much as possible, even in my own office. But I think the you would be looking at a modest additional court burden, a minor additional burden on public safety, and a fairly minor but nevertheless noticeable increase in bodies in the state jails.
Well, to further more information, I don't believe there's anything in the budget to put any more police officers on or any more state troopers, so I think we could probably discount that one.
It would seem so. I think the municipality of Anchorage is, when the present academy is finished, it's going to be up to the level at which the mayor wanted to get it.
Are there any other committee members with a question for Alan Bailey? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Bailey, for taking the time to come down and chat with us this evening. It is evening for us, just late afternoon for you. We need now to try to move to Ketchikan and Bob Connett. Could you please give your statement at this time? And again, since we are recording electronically, I'll need you to state your name for the record before you proceed.
My name is Bob Connett, and I'm Vice President of Ketchikan Families in Action. And I would like to express our thanks to all of you who are trying to bring about better legislation in regard to drunk driving. According to the statistics that I have, tough laws, when enforced, do have an effect. As of last fall, California reported lower death rates, as did several other states. I sent Representative Abood some information. I will continue to research and keep him informed, as well as my representatives in Juneau. One thing that troubled me with the Senate meeting so far of the State Affairs Committee was the fact that this offense is in fact so common. I would like to stress the fact that what seems to be the problem is that a driver's license seems to mean little or nothing, and the idea of it being a privilege is not really made clear. Also, the fact that the roads are public. It means to me that anyone who uses them should be held responsible for how he conducts himself and whether or not he respects the life of others. One other thing I feel is important is the idea of addressing the increasing use of drugs with alcohol and the resultant fact that many people who have accidents or who are stopped for other reasons do not show a high enough blood level of alcohol to qualify for DWI, but in fact they may even be more impaired than a DWI offender. Now, I have been trying to read the statutes number 28, and the most that I can find as far as blood tests are concerned just merely reflect alcohol. I'll leave this up to you, gentlemen, because you're the experts. But I watched an NBC white paper entitled Pleasure Drugs, and one portion of it focused on the fact that in many states of our country, people are avoiding prosecution because the laws as written do not allow the blood test to be used as evidence regarding anything but alcohol content. And a man was picked up for killing two people and injuring a third in a head-on accident down there, and he was impaired or under the influence of Quaaludes, and his blood test only showed a minimal level of alcohol. When the DA presented the blood test to the court, the drug level was thrown out as inadmissible because the statute only mentioned alcohol. I know that the wording, as I can read it, does mention the idea of drugs or alcohol, but I don't know if that's been addressed, and I would just put that out to you and leave it in your hands. But I do thank you all for what you are doing, and I just pray that this will be seen as the serious problem, and not just as something that, you know, well, it happens so much, and everybody does it, so, well, what can we do? And thank you very much.
Our thanks to you, Mr. Connett. Representative Barnes would like to ask a question.
Bob, I really have several comments, but the first one is I know that you didn't mean to slip and say, gentlemen of the committee, because I'm sure that you know that I'm here. And with that, I would like to I would like to thank the continued good work of the Ketchikan Families in Action, especially Linda and all the crew that have worked down there for several years on legislation such as this. And I think I would like to tell you that last year when we worked on the drunk driving bill, we spent a considerable amount of time trying to figure out a way to test the drug level. As I recall, there were several constitutional problems, plus there was also fiscal problems with doing it, and I'm not sure that that's something that can be addressed speedily, but I do recognize the problem.
My apologies.
Are there further questions from other committee members? Representative Blue.
Yes, I want to thank you for sending the information, just as a side note, every time Representative Bard says that, we all laugh very nervously while we're really crying.
Are there questions of other committee members of Mr. Cornett? If not, thank you again on behalf of the committee, Mr. Cornett, and Betty Wilson is also present at Ketchikan, and at this time we'd like to talk to her.
Yes, this is Betty Wilson. I'm president of Families in Action, and I certainly want to thank you folks and your lady member who worked so hard last year on House
Bill. Didn't tell them I was here.
20 or 190, I never can remember how long it was, but we really appreciated all that hard work. And now we are really, really hoping that a good subscribing bill will make it, because we really feel it's terribly important. I really think that we've got to make people responsible for the acts they perform, even if they're drunk, or perhaps especially if they're drunk. Most of the time in Ketchikan, the drunk driver gets the minimum sentence, and the victim gets left with whatever happens, and they have to take care of it themselves. That's really backwards. I believe that when the drunk driver is apprehended, their driver's license ought to be taken away then. And when the court gets around to working with the drunk driver, well, then they can settle what's going to happen to that driver's license. Very recently, we had a mother of three nearly killed, by a drunk driver. She was near death for probably 3 weeks. It looks like she's going to make it now. But all the time she's been hovering near death, her family has watched the drunk driver, who is a chronic drunk, driving around in Ketchikan. He's not drunk. We haven't seen him driving drunk, I'm sure, but he is driving nevertheless. And it's really flaunting things, a great deal, and it's a very great deal of pain, along with the fact that who knows when he will get drunk and do it again. The reason, of course, is waiting to see what happens to the mother before they know what to charge him with. If they had picked up his driver's license at the time, and I'm sure that could be written into the law, a lot of heartache would be eliminated and possibly more damage to other people. In general, I am in favor of the bill, and certainly philosophically I am. I do believe strongly that we need more money put into alcohol education for the general public, as well as for every drunk driver that gets picked up. I think they ought to automatically be sent to a drunk driver school, even though perhaps half of them won't pay much attention. I think on the whole, most of them will when they're sober. It has been proved in many states that it really makes a difference. would cost much less if some money was put into a good probation monitoring service where these people would be doing public community service work or public works, like cleaning up the roads, maybe painting the highway lines, things that are where people can see them, would be performing a service for us, as well as be keeping them busy and making them think at the same time with what they're doing. However, I really realize that some of these people need help, and just putting them in jail or having them clean up the trash is not going to do it. You've got desperately in Ketchikan, and I think I know throughout the state of Alaska, need money to help these people. I'd like to second Mr. Conant's idea about other tests for other drugs. There are some being used throughout the United States in some places, and I guess we need to do some research on that for you. I do think they are costly still. Polydrug use is often a cause, and maybe next year some additions could be made with this information for you. Confiscation of car, I feel, is very important. If you don't make the penalty really hurt, they're not going to pay attention. And if they have committed several drunk driving offenses, then it's time to take their weapons away. And that's what it is a weapon, very heavy weapon. I see absolutely no reason why that isn't appropriate. They know it's going to happen. They have been warned. People will have been public information. If their family knows it's going to happen, perhaps a little social pressure from their family will help keep them from using it as a weapon. I know that states that have done this have found great results. I know you mentioned the state of Minnesota. I suppose you have their entire report about what they're doing on the driving. And I think Minnesota is a very good model. They have been working hard there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilson. Representative Winty has a question, but before he does, I'd like to comment that under present statute, the judge sitting in Ketchikan, if he wants to give somebody a public service sentence along with any other sentence he given, he certainly can do that right now without additional law being put on the books. In fact, the legislature has been admonished lately by a sitting judge about laws, and certainly available to every judge that sits on a drunk driver case right now is far more severe punishment than they're, as a rule, giving out. So an awful lot of remedy that's suggested by a lot of people is available in the court system at the present time. Representative Wendy?
Thanks for your testimony, Betty. Although it doesn't directly apply to this bill, I appreciate your statement to the committee and the sponsor here as well that there is a need to put a greater emphasis into rehabilitating, if you will, or working with a drunk driver once we have our hands on them rather than just having sit in the cell for a certain period of time. I think there is concern among all the members of this particular committee. It's not necessarily a commitment try and work that out, but I do know at least I and some of the other members of the committee feel very strongly toward that. In terms of another issue, though, last time I think I met with your group, you were organizing a court watch system. And that kind of addresses the chairman's statement as well. And how has that court watch program come together, or do you feel comfortable with the way your group is progressing, or is it providing any assistance if you have been able to develop it?
Ron, this is Bob Conant. I'm the chairman of Court Watchers. At this point in time, the program is based on a program that was developed in Washington, D.C., and at this point in time, we have about eight
regular people involved, but we're monitoring at this point Superior Court in an active way, and only at this point a particular trial dealing with cocaine in particular. And what we're doing is making it kind of a model from which we can learn more about how to operate successfully. But I have already been told by a member of the state troopers that our involvement in an earlier case had made a difference, and that Judge Schultz is very open to working with us, and I see it being more and more of effect. I have personally been monitoring the court records in the district court regarding DWI and minor consuming alcohol, minor possessing alcohol, and also misconduct involving controlled substances on all of the various degree levels. And I am putting together, hopefully, something that can be used to bring about a better understanding between the judicial and the public in terms of why judges are able or not able to do certain, penalties under certain conditions. And a lot of the judges have told to me that some of the time it's because the legislation has been written wrong and is not addressing the problem clearly. And we're trying to work on those things. And it's growing, I believe, and it's going to be more and more effective in the coming days on both levels, Superior and District.
I'd like to make a comment. This is Betty Wilson again. In regard to community service, Judge Gucker in the district court is using community service. I've noticed more and more. However, I do understand that things may have changed, but last time I talked to him, he said that the only places that can be used for community service are non-profit agencies, and it has something to do with insurance, etc. And that's kind of limited. Now, I guess I'm looking for something more meaningful in the way of community service, the more a broader scope, because in Ketchikan, we don't have a lot of choices. So I think that could be worked on also. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilson. Are there other questions of the committee members of Mrs. Wilson or of the sponsor? For the general information of everybody on the teleconference, the entire committee is present, with the exception of Representative Hayes, and he's about three doors away at another meeting, and there are also other legislators present who are not members of the committee. So if you have questions to direct to them with regard to it, we'd accept that too. Alan Bailey, are you still there? Representative Costa, did you have a question for Alan Bailey when we got him on?
This is Alan Bailey.
No. I thought you did. Well, I thought I was mistaken. I thought Representative Coxon had a question for you when we got you on the wire, but I guess I had
my wasn't here when you testified.
I guess I had my wires crossed on that. If there are no other people on the teleconference to speak to us, why we'll conclude the teleconference. That
what section? This is the moderator, Tom and Juno.
The Senate.
Are there any people to testify at any of the sites? All of those on our dedicated line, about 20 or 21 sites are online tonight. The main center.
No, they must not work it.
I thought Thornburg was on last week.
I hear them.
Tell them how much we appreciate it.
We welcome your presence.
Thank you.
Sorry to be late, guys.
Well, we got everybody here. We just passed a couple bills.
Pass this one, Mr. Chairman.
Well, you said you were going to get a committee substitute here by Monday. And, as soon as he's through, we'll just discuss that a minute.
You're going to stay on the line for our district telecomics, though, right?
Okay, well, if you want to be with the people, you the committee's not going to be there. But
the committee can go, but Walmart
is
still here.
Yes.
I'm really sorry I missed Alan Bailey.
Today, the sponsor said he worked with the Department of Law, and they if you saw or heard most of the notes that they had, and I presume you'll see that in the first days of next week. And it's my intention not to spend any much more time monkeying when we get it. If we can reach a philosophical agreement very quickly, we'll move that that bill through the system and set about trying to adjust some of these other things. I personally have some feelings that we're going about this in just a halfway measure. I still have those feelings that when a guy buys a drink and starts to impair his reason, the further he goes along, there's one guy there that's reason's not impaired, and that's the guy selling the drink. And for the legislature to continue to try to attack the driver after he's drunk is just not the way to handle it. You've got to stop the guy from getting drunk, and the way to do that is to control the sale of the liquor in a responsible manner. And until that's done, we're just going to pour million after million after million after million into rehabilitation, and you're going to bury person after person after person and try to do something with the guy after he's drunk. That lady in Ketchikan, that's a solemn expression. She's got somebody hovering near death, and no matter what you do to that guy, the action's already caused. Until we stop the guy from getting drunk, that kind of thing is still going to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your point is well taken, but I think there's a further point. Because, you know, there are times, certainly, when people get drunk, and they're not getting drunk at a bar. They're getting drunk by buying a bottle of booze and drinking alone, or they go and they sit down in the house with a friend and they get drunk. So what I think I hear you saying, I think it misses part of the population that you have no control over. And when you start trying to hold maybe a bartender accountable, I think you have a further problem, because a person might have a drink in a bar and then walk out and drink out of a bottle, and I think you're really the real problem there.
I don't wish to argue about it, but you heard there's a slip in your file that talks about the whole state of Israel with probably one drunken driver case a year. And it's handled basically by that. They make the guy that dispenses the booze responsible. I myself sat in a bar in Helsinki, Finland, where you order the second drink, you take the car keys, or you don't get the second drink. That's that simple. And they don't have a drunken driving problem. This committee and this legislature deals with statistics day after day after day after day. And percentages, and the percentages of those drivers who are involved in these accidents on the road, I would wager to say are going to be above 90% that come from a drinking establishment and get involved in those. So, you know, if this legislature took an affirmative act and it affected 90% of those guilty, it would be one of the higher percentages that actually take, that actually get at the problem. Representative Ballou.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can surely appreciate your position and your thoughts on that thing. I don't have any particular problems with it. But do you arrest the host and the party that gives the party? You can't do that either. So you've got to get, as Representative Barnes says, to the person that does the driving with the drinking. There's a lot of people drink and get drunk, but they don't drive. It just seems to me that we could actually go dry, too. We could make this a dry state. Maybe that would do it. I mean, if we really want to cure that problem, then we could do that if we wanted to pass legislation to correct that mistake. But it'll never sell in that particular direction. It's just like the dividends. Once you give it, you're not about ready to take that away from them. There's no way you're going to be able to take it away from them. My opinion. This bill directs itself to those people who do one thing. Can I finish my statement, Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me.
Not yet. There's one thing the bill does, and it takes the driver out of the car. That one group of people that's causing the deaths. The people, the parties that are drinking that don't drive, they're not causing deaths. Maybe their own, but that's of their own free will. But the guy we want is the guy that's driving that car. I don't know what else you could do. You can't put You can't change the world on it. You've got to get to this one little point here. In Israel, maybe they, I know in Arabian countries and a lot of them, those guys don't drink anymore because they take their heads off. Pretty hard to drink when you're doing that, you know. But we can't go into that. We're more of a different type of society. I understand what you're saying, and I can't say anything more about it. Sure, we got the problem.
You wouldn't have any objection if we went in, added one liner in here and went into Title IV and took out the words criminal negligence and just those two words?
I would violently object to that.
Representative Malone?
Mr. Chairman, I think you raised a good point, and I think that in response to Mitch's remarks, I think that, in fact, you could hold a host or a hostess responsible. Now, you don't have as many sanctions to exercise against somebody holding a private party as you do against somebody that holds a state liquor license, but you could also make that criminal offense. Maybe people wouldn't be as careless about how they treat their guests. And I think the practical matter, though, that Mitch probably raised a good point in that it might be hard to get this bill passed with that type of amendment in it, but I think it ought somehow to be pursued, because I think it would have the desired effect, and that is that you'd be preventing something before it happened. And at least, I mean, the way the bill is written, basically, the person has to be driving while intoxicated, or the police officer has to have a reason to believe that's going on before anything happens at all. And by that time, we already have the danger occurring to the public. And so I think that the point you raise is an excellent one. If we're going to get serious about this, we're going to have to approach it on more than one front and with more than a simplistic solution.
I agree. We don't treat any other, this is like saying we fix an airplane after it crashes. Perform the maintenance later. Are there further comments on committee members? Representative Liston.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Representative Abood. The main thing to do is get these people off the road. How we can address lifting a license on them is going to have to be up to the courts, because I don't believe we can give that authority to the police officer to lift the license. Or the lady in Ketchikan, I know it's going on all the time. It does seem very asinine to have these people that are involved in acting like that has to be. And the person still driving. It's kind of hard to swallow sometimes on these, but I think that basically the bill right here has got a lot of, it's got a lot of meat in it. And the main thing is to get them off the street. This is a good start in my book. Maybe make a little dressing up on it, but I think it's a good bill.
We had a judge in Holder that decided to do that, and he went after it. He flattened out the statistics and started them down. And because he done a good job and because he proved the system worked, they're now going to move him. He's been chastised and whipped for doing a good job.
Well, you don't believe we can address that in this particular piece of legislation here, though, do you? I mean, you're bringing up a different subject here than what the bill addressed.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is the remedy, but the need to flatten this out is already in the law. The judge has this at his disposal right now. He approved it. Don't hold your head, Mitch. We're not going to hold your legislation up. You've been down the floor and you can get a fast fund. I'm not going to stand in the way of that in one way, not at all.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I did. I think you got the wrong signal from me. I have a headache. The point I'd like to bring out is that if this bill goes to the floor and it passes, great. If it doesn't,
well, I guess what I'm trying to point out to you is that if it doesn't pass, the remedy that's almost identical to this provided in this bill is already in existing law. If the judges chose to use it, they don't use it. And I guess I'm willing to bet you that on passage of this law, that the remedies will still be used in about the same manner they are right now.
Then, Mr. Chairman, when we get through with this bill, and let's assume it passes, everything's good, and we've got the penalties on the drunk driver, we've got the fines on the drunk driver, we can take their cars from them, we can give them jail time, minimum security or otherwise. Then we can go back in and do something with the court system to make the judges do these things, maybe. This is not the total answer to the total problem. This is a beginning of something in one area, a drunk driver. Now you can do everything else you want to do with these guys, and I'm all for it. But we've got to make a tougher stand than we have been, and the public is demanding it. They are screaming for it. And I think this committee is doing a very good job thus far, I think. I think it'll be better when you get the new bill in front of you and the committee substitute. I think you'll see some very excellent changes, and I think you'll like the bill. And it's very difficult for me to sit here and have you with the old bill in front of you and expect you to really get enthusiastic about it.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Boo, this bill was first offered on February the 28th. Why is the substitute not already here?
Perhaps you guys could discuss that.
I just wondered if you know.
Because he responded to the testimony he heard in the judiciary.
Oh, I see. Well,
thank you. Representative Forrest, thanks for the loaded question. I'm not going to ask too much about it.
I just wondered.
There's nothing further to come before the committee, but we were adjourned until 1:30
tomorrow. Did you guys have a bad meeting?